Coming up on All About Android, we're going to talk about the development of the Palm phone, tons of Google Assistant appearing at the Consumer Electronics Show, some hits at what we can expect in Android Q, and a whole lot more. All About Android is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode number 402, recorded on Tuesday, January 8th. 2019. It's a new year. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Florence Ion, back from the other side of the world. It's good to have you back.
And with 2 inches less hair.
How did that happen?
Whoa.
You know,
you don't want to know.
Dragon
next week when I come with my hair down, we'll talk about it.
Customs is hard to get through now,
yes.
Isn't it?
I mean,
we're going to need a little bit of that hair. I'm
government
sorry.
Government shut down. You have to do some weird things to get back in.
But at least you got back. That's
the point. I got back.
Joining us today, we are super thrilled to welcome two folks from Palm. We've got Colin Willardson, head of marketing at Palm.
That one's him, not me.
That's right. Although you can wave too. That's David Woodland, head of product at Palm. Palm.com. And of course, Palm is the device that we talked about, the Palm phone. Well, everybody's very familiar with Palm as a brand name,
but we've
talked about the Palm phone very recently with the kind of companion device that I'm sure we're going to dive into pretty deeply on today's episode. This is your bag right now. What do you have around your neck?
Actually, I noticed you have quite a piece around your neck that you're sporting right now. Really rivals Flava Flav's clocks.
Well, mine actually, it's a digital clock of Flavor Flav's clock. That's all it is.
Yeah. I guess the first question should be, when is there going to be a round version of the Palm phone?
We're in talks with VH1.
Okay.
Future of tech right here.
No, this is just one of the many accessories for Palm. It's one of my favorite ones because, I mean, it's pretty light in general, and it's one of those things where... It's not my waist, it's not my pocket, and it's another way to make it, I guess, a quote-unquote wearable companion, whatever. It's just,
sure.
It just
they're,
makes...
Yeah. There when you need it, but kind of out of the way when you don't. Not taking up a whole lot of space.
Over-technologizing
our lives.
Kind of, I mean, really why I like it, and this is just my personal opinion, is, like, I'm a big follower of just, like, all the different, like, fashion trends in Asia and things like that, and coming from the fashion industry, like, you know, big thing coming back in is, you know, sling bags and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I thought that this was something that was kind of an homage to that and fit into that style. So I immediately was drawn to it and wanted it. Granted, it's not for everybody, but, you know, then again, nor is all the hype beast move and stuff like that. But it's just an accessory that I felt fit well with my style and also don't want to wear a watch. So this was like the way to have it.
Well, I mean, even phablet sized phones aren't for everybody, right? That's the beauty of the kind of phone world that we live in, a smartphone world that we live in, is that there's so much variability between all different extremes that they can all exist and find their market, you know, find their user base.
Yeah.
I did try to wear a Moto 360 around my neck once.
How'd that go?
And I don't know. There's a reason I don't wear it anymore.
So did you take off the bands?
It was like a Kickstarter I backed.
Was it like long bands where it's like the neck?
No, it was like...
And then you've never seen the time
chase. No, it was just a little piece to like put the loop on it. And then you had to provide your own necklace. And I like tried to wear it, but it just wasn't vibing.
Yeah.
In that particular, I mean, the watch only lasts for like 8 hours.
Yeah, it's actually so. Like a lot of people, they like talk about Palm as this like almost like a smart pocket watch. It's like a similar thing, similar way, and obviously when it's hanging, it's kind of like a smart watch that hangs from your neck.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you know, a
wearable in a different sense.
You know, it's interesting, and granted, like so. Speaking of like the Asia fashion trends and stuff like that, so there's this bag company called Dispatch. They're they design in San Francisco, but they sell a lot in Tokyo. And they actually made a really cool accessory that works for both the Apple Watch and the Palm. But essentially, it's it's a carabiner that hooks onto their different bags.
Oh, okay.
Where like you literally have like the palm like hanging off their different sling bags and stuff like that, and which I think is cool.
Just like a Tamagotchi.
Exactly like a Tamagotchi. Now I need to download the Tamagotchi app. I was more of a Digimon guy, to be honest.
That's what I was going to say. The palm, the form factor of the palm is perfect for the modern-day Tamagotchi, by the way.
Like, that's how it all started, actually. It was just all, like, Tamagotchi fans.
We were trying to figure out ways
really
to
needed to bring it back.
Yeah. How are we going to do this?
Palm, the 90s are coming in. They're hip again. Exactly.
Because
so,
back then, you had your cell phone, and then you had your Tamagotchi.
No, now. And,
All right, so obviously we've got news that you guys are going to join us for the whole show. So we've got news a little bit later. So the Consumer Electronics Show is happening right now. So we're going to dive into some of the Android things going on there. Got some news outside of that. But we've kind of already started talking about the Palm phone. So we should just kind of continue along on that track. And I guess maybe take a step back a little bit first, because there are some people who maybe haven't seen over the past couple of months this idea of this smaller companion phone that is the Palm phone. And, you know, along with this device, like, I feel like it's different enough that there's a vision around this, right? Like, there's an idea for where this smaller device fits into a person's life. It's not necessarily as a replacement phone. It's not to say that I would get rid of my Pixel. It's meant to be a companion phone. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, why the ethos of this product is that we need a companion phone instead of a replacement?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. So a lot of people from our team, we come from backgrounds like Pebble, Samsung. We worked on smartwatches, and we worked on a lot of these companion devices for a long time. And you know, like, we go on panels and we talk about this like future of mobility. We have these huge phones, and I think a lot of wearables is about how do we live outside of our screens? How do we interact with our tech, make it convenient and there without having to be checking our phones? And for a long time, it was like, you'd say the stat, you check your phone 120 times a day, 150 times a day, 180, 200, and it kept going up and up. And wearables was to address that. So we're triaging our notifications, we're replying to notifications, we're snoozing them. And I think at Pebble, it was like the number of times you check your phone would decrease from like 120 to like 40 or something if you had something like this. So with wearables, a lot of what we were doing was like iterating on the notifications and iterating on that as like the platform for mobility. And I guess as we were iterating, it's like you first like, all right, I don't need my banking apps. Okay, I don't need my Instagram likes or my Twitter mentions, or start turning them off. And as the years went on, I was refining and refining and refining my notifications down to the point where it's like, there's literally very, very, very few things in the world that are ever worth distracting me,
right?
Because I'm going to be there within 10 minutes. And so a lot of Pebble's vision is that, sorry, Palm's vision is on this ethos of living outside the screen, be in the moment, getting your life back, get outside of your tech, and it'll be there when you want it. But it doesn't always have to be as invasive, because like, I think the world is trending on this direction of addiction that's not healthy for humanity as a whole. And Palm is a way for us to disconnect, be human, and just not have to worry about the noise as much.
Yeah, I mean, TLDR, you know, be connected, not consumed, right? And at the end of the day, we call it a companion and not necessarily, you know, your new phone or anything like that. Because at the end of the day, like, your smartphone, I mean, is, like, I cannot live without my smartphone. Like, that's 100% fact.
It's your computer now.
It is.
People might be resisting, but really, living your life without that technology, so much is built around
it. If I'm in traffic, I'm responding to emails. I'm hitting up Slack. Yeah. I'm doing all that kind of stuff, right? And, like, we never set out or do anything to villainize that, because like, that is the most, like, the world runs on smartphones, right? We're coming out saying, like, you know what, like, every now and then it's okay to put your phone down, and when, let's say, like, you're out to dinner with somebody, it's okay to not have your smartphone in front of you and like have a conversation. But we also understand as humans, like, there is FOMO when you do that, right? We're not disciplined enough to necessarily turn on do not disturb at all times. So that's where something like a companion device comes in, to where you can leave your phone behind and feel connected, but you're not necessarily consumed by it. And the end of the day, with we have this software feature called Life Mode, where essentially it's like Do Not Disturb is on automatically. So you have to physically enable yourself to be distracted. Otherwise, it's like we just go out and enjoy our dinner or whatever and turn it on and off when we want. And then the other part of it being a companion device is literally the size and the form factor of it. You know, it's when we go running, like, would you rather like have like this little skinny guy like put in your pocket that's, you know, 2 ounces, or like hold a big thing in your hand and run up and down like that? And like with this, it's like it's smaller. It still does everything your phone does or your watch does, like tracks your steps, your calories, whatever. But plus you can stream your music. You can listen to podcasts, Sirius or whatever.
Track your hike.
Exactly. Yeah. Go on Strava. And at the end of the day, it's what I always say. It's like with this, you capture the moment. Whereas sometimes when you're on your smartphone, your bigger phone, you talk about the moment. Like you take a picture and immediately you're like, I got to put it on Instagram. And
yeah,
Twitter.
Now suddenly you're 5 minutes.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that ad. Oh, that picture. Oh, let me go on Candy Crush. Where this, it's like, you know, we made it kind of voice first. So in reality, you take a picture and then it syncs up with Google Photos to your phone. So when you get back to your phone, you could just post it on your big phone and write about it later.
Exactly. But use all your editing apps.
Yeah. But it's at the end of the day, like all those different use cases, it comes down to just being connected but not consumed, but like having that there when you need it. If we're out, I can call Uber, but like I'm not playing games. You know what I mean? Like I can Venmo you or whatever.
The necessities of the connected world. Because it's become, well, yeah, it's become a, I mean, it's a privilege for a lot, but it's become a necessity for a lot too in that sense. Like I need to have my phone to be able to track my hike. Or if I'm alone, I want to be able to call somebody in case, or I want to at least still be able to be tracked. And well, so,
and it's funny because it's like for a while I spent a long time being really disciplined about not, like someone asked me, hey, I need you to change that document. I'm like, great. When I get back to my desk, I'll update it for you. But now with Google Docs and Sheets on my phone and my OnePlus 6T large screen, I can edit a spreadsheet on my phone and I find myself hating doing it because
and
the
you see the notification
is,
too. Yeah, and it's hard to ignore it.
It's just miserable.
But, I mean, you look at my body and you're like, how do you get this body? And it's a steady diet of Diet Coke and gummy bears. And
all right, Colin.
Live your life.
So I don't use my Palm as a workout device, but for me in the mornings, I purposely do not have Slack on here. I do not have emails on here.
Yeah.
So in the mornings, I ride BART, and it's like I listen to my audiobooks or my podcast, and it's like I put my iPhone in my bag, and it is my moment
of
freedom.
It's your BART time.
It's just like my moment to unwind. Mm-hmm. It's me time. And like I'm going into work not anxious because I'm not – looking at what's on my schedule today, who I got.
Right.
But I'm just like, oh, this is like right now. I'm listening to Trevor Noah's book, and I'm like, oh, this is like I'm just going outside of my brain.
You can listen to it.
Yeah,
you can't listen to it when you're also answering email.
Well, so exactly. But what you're talking about there is a requirement of a social component around this too, right? Mm-hmm. Like if what you're talking about is now I want to change things, I want to change my life so that when I'm in these kind of transition periods, I'm not accessible to work, or I'm not accessible to being distracted. That's a great decision for me to make about myself. How does that fit into a society that expects certain things? Do you think things are changing in that regard? Like, I know that there's an awareness right now around technology overuse, and addiction is a word that you hear a lot of times right now. Is there enough of a pushback now where people are starting to kind of understand, okay, I get it. You want to, you know, use the Palm phone as one example so that you aren't 100% accessible, and that's okay. Is that okay right now?
It's not – our goal is not to not be accessible. Like if I'm out with David and we're out like watching a game or something and my kid goes to urgent care, my wife tries to call me, like I want to be able to answer that phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The goal is not about being inaccessible or unaccessible. It's about literally like – if I'm at the game with David, it's about putting the damn phone down and watching the game.
Yeah.
Or like having a conversation. You know,
not watching
scrolling
the game through
Instagram.
The
yeah, not like, oh, like let me yeah, like yeah. It's just like
yeah.
In short, like even with like a smaller device, you're still gonna use it, you're still gonna be checking it, you're still gonna see it every 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I don't know how often you use it, but you know, as human beings, I think, you know, like people are using screen time for 4 hours. Maybe with Palm, we're trying to shrink that down. It's not to eliminate it. It's just like, what's healthy, right?
Right. And manage it.
I think we're all responsible. We're all like, we're on, we're responding. And I think everyone spends enough time being connected that I don't think it's like a major issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not, at the end of the day, we're not like trying to say this is the way. It's just, for those moments of capitalizing, all right, it's my kid's soccer game. It's date night with my wife. And when you finally make those great decisions to just finally make time for your friends, like actually be there for your friends and not be like all the guys on the couch just playing games, not even looking at each other. And
Right. Well, and could I pause?
Yeah, I was say,
while we're talking about this? I have not seen one in the flesh yet.
There's a time and place. You know what I mean? Like that's why we said we're not a replacement for your smartphone. We're a companion to it. And there's
so small
time and place. And you could even see my top apps on there. I mean, it's like Google Podcasts, audiobooks, like.
And this is a card we use for transit here.
Here's basically a credit card.
And here's some keys.
And there's a phone.
Just to show.
I mean,
all goes in your pocket.
Now that you have it, first off, can you put it in your palm, to your true palm, Jason, just because we can do the Jason sizing of it? But
yeah.
Isn't it fascinating how the form factor and the size of it and what it actually can do? It was funny because when I first got it, I got a chance to catch up with Colin and David in New York, and they gave me one. We saw it a couple weeks ago on the show. And when I came home, I showed it to my wife, and she couldn't believe it. And then she immediately wanted to know if she could replace her phone with it.
Yeah.
Like not even companion phone, you know? Like, yeah, so.
Well, I mean, your wife's not the only person to ever ask that question. But going back to the form factor, that makes a huge difference as well, and just creating habits, because like when you think about it, like you see how small and tiny it is. Like that's why we definitely made a big push for doing voice first stuff. But imagine trying to write like a 4-paragraph email on that thing with your thumbs. Like it would be tiring and exhausting. Right. Like this isn't something where it's like, this isn't your I'm going to go do 3 days of work while on vacation, smartphone sort of thing, you know?
Don't do all of your work.
But this is your good vacation phone.
No, I mean, absolutely.
It's waterproof. You could go in the water with it and take pictures in the water. It's, you know, made with Gorilla Glass 3.
It's really nicely designed. Like, it's a nice, tight package. You know what I mean? It feels really nice, and it feels nice in the palm of your hands. Now, one thing that this definitely is, it's somewhat limited, right? Like, it's only on Verizon. Unfortunately, you have to be a Verizon customer at this point to get one. In the United States. What about outside of the United States?
We're available on Vodafone. Okay. And soon we're opening up new markets globally within the next, actually, couple weeks and months.
Sure. So there is limited availability. But, you know, granted, you guys, this is kind of your first phone kind of out of the gate with the new Palm name. And then, you know, it's a companion device. So it's tied to a phone number that you already have existing on another device. What are the challenges that presents? I imagine that's not your long-term strategy. You want to open this up. This was just kind of a good place to start. Verizon, hey, let's be real, is not a bad network to start off with in the U.S. But how is it going from that perspective? Are you seeing a good amount of uptick on this?
From the carrier perspective or companion perspective? Yeah. Or what's the question?
Yeah, from the carrier perspective, like what has the interest been on this? Because it's very isolated to a very few specific networks.
I'll talk to that for sure. So one of the interesting things about being Palm is a lot of people think we're a very, very large company because Palm is its legacy.
Yeah.
In reality, we are a San Francisco startup with a small team in a studio in San Francisco. And so we're rebuilding Palm again from the ground up. And so, you know, it's like in the ideal world, we would be like some of our other mobile partners who are on every carrier across the planet. But as a startup, you have to start somewhere. Sure. And, you know, there's costs for carriers, labs, certifications. There's risks on SKUs and inventories. So from a business perspective, it makes sense to start somewhere, start smart, test the water, test the markets. You've seen that across a lot of other major companies, even in the last few years when smartphones existed. And so we followed suit in the United States. Definitely long term, like the future is long, and we intend to be everywhere. But so far we're with Verizon, and it's been like it's been an amazing thing for us, actually, just getting into
that. They're very business focused. I mean, their thing is like, we are here for the enterprise.
So like, this is one of those things you have to like see it.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of really well when it's in someone's hand, when they actually see the size. Because you can look at pictures of it next to a donut, car keys, credit card. And you're like, oh, it's small. But every reviewer, they see it and they're like, whoa, it's way smaller than I thought. And so with a carrier like Verizon, it's like we get into thousands of their doors, all these other resellers and just big box stores across the U.S. So amazing for a startup.
And also one thing you touched on, talking about being a companion device, when we were talking about it, you guys explained it to me, and I want everyone in the audience to understand it, that you don't need to have the companion device on you.
Correct. So it's a connected companion device. So similar to like a connected wearable. It has the same number as your big phone, but that doesn't mean your big phone has to be around for it to be connected.
I can leave my iPhone at home and fly out to New York and chill with Ron and bring my Palm and still get the same phone calls, text messages, everything.
Yeah. So in that regard, like, we love our big phones, but I'm 6'4", 220 pounds, and I can't run with a phone. Actually, I'm doing keto, so I've lost like 10. So 210. I need to adjust that. But no, so like, even as big as I am, I cannot run with a phone. Yeah. And you can strap it to your arm. I don't know. You guys have a big
phone.
They're
very big now, too.
I'm huge.
Phones are also bigger
now. And that
now.
Phone is still just way too big for running or biking. So when I go running, I wear a fanny pack with a big phone. Or if I'm biking, I literally just wear a backpack. I don't have one. Like,
so the Palm phone saves you from a fanny pack.
I'm pro fanny pack.
Yeah, they're back in style.
So
cast the vote on that.
For a lot of people, like, where they end up is, all right, there's a wearable for this. I can wear like a connected smartwatch. And it'll have Strava.
So instead of a giant Samsung watch, which is kind of all that they make right now, it would just be a palm around my neck.
Yeah, so we have a lot of different accessories. Yeah. We have like arm sleeves, armbands. Right. You could tuck it into your yoga pants. You can tuck it into just your tiny gym shorts. You can tuck it into anything. The other thing that we're finding, though, is like, you know, like, I'm a big Strava user. And on Strava, there's a big social component.
Yeah.
Like pictures. You get to the summit. You want to take the selfie or take that pretty view. And you leave your picture, your camera behind if you take a wearable. And so, like, with a lot of people, like, there's this idea of, oh, you have your Apple Watch and you're going to go out and, you know, it does have calls and it does have text messaging, but in the end, it doesn't have a photo or it doesn't have a,
exactly.
It doesn't have a camera or a photo sharing app.
Yeah.
Or any of, like, so even if it has text messaging, half your conversations are in Facebook Messenger or Instagram DMs or Snapchat or Twitter
DMs. You have
Twitter
to dictate
DMs.
Them, which I don't want to dictate my conversations when I'm like sharing a trail with a bunch of people I don't know.
Yes, I do have diarrhea.
So when we talk about like the limitations of a companion, today, like before Palm, the companion solutions, like, you didn't have cameras, you didn't have Instagram or the way to share those, and then you left half of your chat conversations behind. And so with Palm, you have those. You don't have that FOMO of like, what are all those group chats saying about this game I'm at right now? So it's like, you can be there. We do things with the software and interesting things with form factor to be in the moment. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not compromising the connectivity that you would otherwise with a wearable.
We should clarify. I think everyone, we are operating on a full Android Play Store.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Certified.
Yeah.
So that actually leads to a good question I have about Android and about how the Palm exists on the software side and the app side. So, you know, it's running Android. It can, you know, run any app. And despite my big fat fingers, you know, you use the little mini keyboard and you can use all that stuff. When we saw the emergence of phablet phones or larger phones come out, there was a lot of discussion about how developers adapt the UI and the apps to accommodate for a larger screen. And then that became the norm. Have you guys had conversations with developers about doing Palm versions of apps or smaller versions of apps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's interesting is, like, mobile was built, I think the first four generations of iPhone was 3.5 inches. Mm-hmm. And our device is 3.3 mm-hmm. inches. So a lot of mobile apps were built with our screen size in mind. But just as mobile has evolved to bigger screens, it's just, you know, there's the camera wars and the bezel wars. We basically went back to a proven form factor, proven screen size, but then just shrunk the bezels and everything around what already was 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the software was built for that. The other things that we've seen that's evolved is, like, you know, there's now long press on icons and shortcuts, and Android as a platform has their whole shortcut world that mm-hmm. Palm also benefits from. So we have a quick action interface. We have the long press. There's obviously Google Assistant, which is also just a quick input into any of those as well.
Yep.
And yeah, so we sort of riff on that. There's also a thing that we use called the gesture pad. So similar to like graffiti with Palm back in the day, there's an easy way to just draw a letter to quickly search one of those actions and boom, jump right into your summer playlist for music or into that workout playlist. And really not have to go through those 5 steps through Spotify or whatever it is to navigate to your playlist, but just tap or two or swipe and you're there. So
that's awesome.
Now, I'm curious to know, so the companion phone is kind of like it is the crux of the business right now, but what about down the line? I mean, do you guys kind of see us going like backwards a little bit? Because the smartphone is now like the main component of your life. What about insisting like you don't need, you know, what about the people who don't want all that, who don't need all that? People who aren't.
We're going back to flip phones.
Yeah. No. I'm just thinking like kids, teenagers don't need like those, you know, full phones. Maybe you just want to give the teen a phone so you know where the heck they are on the weekends.
Right.
Or maybe you're a person who is just like, I really don't need a smartphone or want that noise in my life. You know, is there an idea of maybe doing like a stand, like, could I use a standalone if I wanted to?
You want to take this one?
No. Oh, man.
I can take this one.
No, so. I'll take it.
Okay.
No, you take it.
All right. So one thing that's interesting in the position of market. So we are actually sold as a standalone today in Europe. And we have more announcements coming soon in other markets.
Interesting.
Where we will.
But absolutely, we believe in Palm as a product and a standalone product. And people are going to find ways to use it. And we don't really want to dictate that. So there is like the end of the spectrum of minimalism where people want calling and texting.
Yeah.
And then there's this end where people want to like walk around with an iPad in their pocket or something. And there's everything in between. And so I think with Palm, we're not saying there's one way. It's not just minimalism or it's not here. Like, I think one of the benefits over this, over maybe like a total minimalist phone, is it's a little more versatile and it's a little more adaptable. And it can actually scale up into the use cases that a lot of people use in their smartphones today.
And it's got the full Android store.
Yeah, exactly. So there's this spectrum. And I think everyone's going to find this like spectrum of minimalism of where does this fit into my life? And it's sometimes for some people, it's only for when they go running. And for some people, it's like, all right, I'm going to give this to my kid when they go to soccer practice.
Mm-hmm.
Or for some, it's going to, and everyone's going to find this like world. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, like, I don't know. I believe in a future with many, many connected devices with purpose and intent. I have screens and screens and screens in my house. Some for an assistant, some for a television, some for a laptop, some for the news. And I think like, this is another screen for on the go that can, people will find a place. And to me, it's so when I'm walking around in sweatpants on the weekend, it can fall into that pocket and I don't have to worry about $1,000 thing falling out of my pocket or take it to the beach.
And I think what you were asking earlier as well, David's saying we're standalone on like Vodafone in Europe and stuff like that. We are working and we will be available where you can choose between standalone and companion on Verizon shortly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which, you know, because some people we've heard the market where they're like, this is great. This is everything I've been wanting to do with my smartphone. Like, can you make it standalone? And
you heard him? Yeah. So, like, the feedback in Europe is positive. Kids' phone is a very interesting vertical, like you mentioned.
Absolutely.
People are starting to use mobiles at a younger and younger and younger age.
Which is scary for a lot of people. To have that much screen, you know.
You get 3 and 4 year olds who are fully versed in how to use Android.
Even before high school, like for a lot of people, it's a lot of trepidation doing that. But you have to, people want to know where their kid is.
Yeah. My 2 year old is like, he knows about 15 words, and 2 of those words are, hey, Google.
Oh.
And it's like, it's concerning because he just started in the last like 3 days, but it's like, Google.
But he's also getting ahead of the curve.
Right. Well, think about this.
That's what the world he was born into as well. So, I mean, it's interesting us having this conversation because I just keep thinking about, like, this is the world that we have now where the smartphone is, it is the thing that people expect to get you on at a moment's notice. And it's very frustrating sometimes. Like, I hate when I'm trying to have alone time. Like, I'm just trying to go on my lovely nature walk, and I open my phone to shuffle a song, and I see all my Google Doc comments from an editor, and I'm like, there goes my anxiety. Like, now I have to talk myself down. Like, I don't have to do it right now.
Yeah. You go
like,
on your walk.
It's okay.
You go into settings, and you turn on that do not disturb mode, and you're in bliss.
But the thing is
I forgot about
For the most part, as I say, like, most people aren't disciplined to really do that.
Yeah.
I completely, I actually forgot to do that.
A lot of people just don't even know what that feature is.
Even if they aren't disciplined,
you're right.
If humans were, like, smart, intelligent, and rational, we would be, like, perfect SAT scores. We'd be skinny. We would be fit. And, like, every single human would be accomplishing many, many, many great things a day. And we wouldn't be using our phones for 5 hours a day.
Yeah.
But we're not smart and we're not rational. And the metaphor that I like to put is, you know, in Europe, they have smaller plates.
Yeah.
And they're skinnier because in the US, we have bigger plates and we're just not disciplined to put less food on the plate. And so there's this, it's a hardware change in the kitchen that actually changes our actions and behavior. And so, yes, you can use do not disturb on your phone. You can use airplane mode. You can power it off. And there are software solutions that kind of mirror the experience somewhat. But Palm is actually like, the greatest feature of Palm is you're walking out the door and you think, I'm leaving my big phone behind and this is a moment to live in the moment. And just that physical decision right there, walking out the door, is this powerful life-changing thing. And it's like, it's $10 a month. So, you know, you get hours and hours and hours back on your weekends.
Which is the cost, by the way, of a smartwatch on the Ryzen network.
Yeah, exactly.
The extra device.
It's basically an extra
device. It's the extra device, device fee, basically.
On your account.
Yeah.
And so for us, you know, like some people, they buy gym passes, they buy this. And this is like a, it's a $10 a month investment in your sanity. And you get personal time back and you get a lot of good things back.
Takes a little bit of reprogramming on the user side for someone to kind of get in the habit to learn how to do that. But And possibly a hidden benefit of paying $10 a month for this is that incentivizes you to learn how to live your life like that. So,
And I think a lot of the times where we get like, where there's feedback is when you approach, if you review this as a phone, you're probably going to be disappointed because it is a little bit smaller and the battery life is like, it's smaller than the big phone. And if you, if you expect the vision and goal of Palm is to change your mobile behavior, so if you keep the same bad habits and try to do the same things and you try to make this a full-fledged, all-time, full-on phone, it's a different experience. And it wasn't designed for that. It really was this vision of scaling back what we're already...
Yeah, and the nice thing is it's not just about Palm, but just about in general. It's just there doesn't... We don't need to... We're not telling you... We're not trying to villainize iPhones. We're not trying to villainize screens or anything like that. We're just trying to give anybody and everybody a tool, and there's a lot of great companies and programs like Thrive, for example, like a lot of great people that are out there doing that, kind of going on the same mission of like, listen, like, just like if you're at a game, like, you can watch the game, you know what I mean? Like, it's
you have
okay
options.
Yeah. It's just we're giving you tools to do stuff with, you know what I mean? Like, it's that's just that's kind of where it's at, because I mean. You know, it's funny and ironic, but, you know, when we think about it, like, here we are making Palm, helping stuff, but then it's like I go to the office all day and I'm staring at a computer, right? And, like, but that's, like, I'm there to work. I'm in my office to work, and I'm there to work. And then when I'm at home, like, I shouldn't be working. I should be with my family. I should be with my kids. I should be doing something for myself or whatever. And, like, having a tool to help me remind that or to enable me to do that is super helpful.
Yeah. Right on. So palm.com, if people want to find out more, palm.com, we'll take you to the site and check it out. Yeah,
it's an easy link.
A lot of sense. And we'll obviously we're going to look forward to kind of seeing what other products come out down the line. It's a great start. Yeah. And I'm really happy to see it in person. I haven't had the chance to kind of pod it before, so
pod it, like actually like
yes pod it, put it actually place it in my palm.
I just I wish I had a teenager to give this to, like this is all you're getting,
the next iteration. Right.
Anyway,
we've got a whole bunch of news from CES to talk about, but before we do that, let's thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we'll jump into CES news. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ExpressVPN. You've heard all about these news stories that keep happening, security breaches. It's kind of difficult to hear these stories and not worry about what's happening with your data in all of these different places. So you can make an online, you can make a choice to practice better security on your part. When you're making online purchases, when you're accessing your email, there are a number of different ways that you can actually put your private information at risk. So take the power into your own hands so that you aren't tracked by your online usage of social media sites or marketing companies or maybe even your mobile or your internet provider. All those places, you know, they can record your browsing history. They can sell it to other corporations. Often they do who would want to profit from your information. So take back your privacy. All you have to do is use ExpressVPN. It has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background. Of course, multi-platform, so you can use it on your computer, on your phone, your tablet. It turns on with only a single click. You just load up the app, tap the button, and boom, the VPN is running. It secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data. It hides your public IP address and allows you to safely surf on public Wi-Fi, which is a great reason to get it just right there. If you go to the coffee shop, jump onto the VPN. That way you know you're not being snooped on or having your personal data stolen. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Costs less than $7 a month. If you don't want to hand over your online history to your internet provider or data resellers, ExpressVPN is the answer. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. That's expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. Do that and you'll get 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid to learn more. And we thank ExpressVPN for their support of this show. Okay, Victor, we will not deprive you of your opportunity to take us into the news.
First of the year.
First of the year, no pressure.
Here's all the CES news so far that you can fit in a fanny pack.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You did it.
Android news.
You made it. Crossed the finish line. Well done.
Well, like Victor said, it is what some folks who follow tech to be consider to be the most wonderful time of the year. And for those of us who actually cover tech, it's one of the roughest times of the year. It's nothing wakes you up from the holiday hangover better than CES as the world descends on Las Vegas. And for those of us who've been there, we're probably all happy that we're not, right? Because it's exhausting. If you're curious about what kind of role Android or Google would play at CES, it probably would be safe to say to predict that Google Assistant taking the spotlight at CES now. Okay. Coming out of CES, Google announced new Assistant features that happen to be perfectly timed to CES. Google Assistant now has a travel feature, which includes flight check-in for U.S. domestic flights to begin with. And it ties into confirmation emails. So if you get a confirmation email on a flight, you can say, "Hey, G, check into my flight or show me my boarding pass," and it will. That's seamless, kind of frictionless integration. Like very that. Cool. You can do hotel booking through various partners. So you can say, "Hey, G, book the Cambria Hotel in New York on January 12th, and it will book the hotel, which is horrifying because I like to pick my bed and like all that kind of stuff. I'm curious how this works. But
don't
I'm sure
worry,
we'll find out.
Google got you.
It's going to be a good room. Don't worry. Yeah, it's going to be fine. Yeah. And there's also I was recently listening to a podcast talking about traveling and being abroad and not knowing the language. And now Google Assistant can switch into interpreter mode where you can say, "Hey, G, be my French interpreter," and we'll translate in real time via spoken word or written translation on a smart display.
Oui, oui.
That's crazy.
So are we doing – wait a minute. Are we doing this in our kitchen like with the assistant running?
Why in the home hub? That's really weird. That's strange. Yeah.
Why are we translating in our home?
I'm going to bring my home hub to France with the power pack.
Grandmothers.
Yeah. But that's not true. Good point. But that's not it. There's also new lock screen assistant functions rolling out. These were first announced at the hardware event back in October, but reiterating that these opt in and then control certain aspects of assistant without unlocking the screen. And then finally, they announced the new Kinect platform for third parties to bring assistant to their low power devices by tethering to a smart display for the heavy lifting. So Google expanding assistant pretty strongly in advance of CES, because you got to imagine there's a lot of devices that are assistant enabled now at CES.
Yes. Yeah. Google had such a huge presence at CES this year, just like last year, that they actually, Ron, I think you're going to get a kick out of this. They built a Disneyland-esque coaster to show people stopping by the booth how the assistant works in your home, and the coaster takes you from, like...
So wait, so they recreated the people mover at CES to
it's not a people mover.
Like
it looks
small world.
It's like a small little roller coaster.
There's a 30 second.
Yeah, Jason's loading up a link right now. There's just a it's loading.
I gotta see this.
And so we'll send that in just.
I don't know. Yeah, no, it's in chat, Victor. If you want to grab that, the link is in the chat. So a Disney coaster.
I don't know if I'd be pumped on that ride.
maybe I sent the wrong link.
No,
sorry.
You did. It has like a 30-second ad, so it's hard to get through.
Yeah.
It is totally. It's a small world.
Yeah, it's like a small assistant. World. And they had a song that was specially made for it. So.
That's
fantastic. Yeah. No, we're not hearing it because it's the CNET interview. But
yeah.
Okay. Interesting. A roller coaster. I mean, I guess it's Google flexing its
okay,
its,
sorry,
its
we're not showing
muscle.
It on screen, but if anybody's interested in like
no
to follow
to
along, you can honestly just Google CES 2018 roller coaster and you'll find it.
I hate to be that guy, but wasn't there a Simpsons episode where they went to a theme park?
Yeah, and Duffland.
Not Duffland. That was my first thought where they went on that ride and it was terrible for everyone. But no, but isn't there a one where like they go, here's a look into the future, and they go on in it. Like,
yes.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
And then, yes. And then the president's face is melted off.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So we're on the same page. Yeah.
This is amazing.
It was
by
foretold.
The way.
Simpsons foretold everything, basically. That's just how the world
works. So, yeah.
Whoever came up with this idea at Google, I hope Sundar gives a raise.
I thought it was incredibly creative. I was like, okay, this is super creative. Not to mention that, you know, it's very Disney-esque.
That is pretty
like,
cool.
Like, I could
all
see
right,
it.
Hang on now. So I would just like to make a couple of points of distinction here. That
yes.
This is not like it's a small world, because it's a small world is the classic Disney boat ride.
Yes,
right?
True.
Like,
this is
like,
more
like a small world, Pirates
this
of the Caribbean.
This is like the Hershey's Chocolate Tour ride.
No, this is more like a dark ride, like... Haunted Mansion,
yes,
or along those where you're on an Omni
Alice in Wonderland.
No, Ron, it's like that
Little
ride
Mermaid.
At Coney Island next to the Cyclone. That,
okay,
that
yeah,
haunted
yeah,
one,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. yeah. Just to be clear, there's no water involved. There's no boats here.
If this is like the Haunted Mansion, then it's going to break down about 2/3 of the way through,
yes.
And I'm going to be horribly disappointed because that's what happened to me.
I'm waiting for Eddie Murphy to make a movie of it.
Here's the reason why you stop so much on the Haunted Mansion. It's not because it breaks down. It's
Smoke.
Because they stop the ride to let people with disabilities on and
look,
off the
it goes
ride,
outside.
And that takes time.
Is that
so.
True?
Look,
I was stuck
outside.
In there for like 10 minutes. So
yeah,
if
someone...
so, I retract.
Sorry for
patience
the audio listeners.
Virtue, Jason.
Sorry for the audio listeners.
Oh, look, palm trees. Weird.
It goes outside like the Alice in Wonderland That's... ride, which goes outside on Disneyland. You see above. See, this is, I'm telling you, this is really creative
it's
marketing.
It's pretty impressive.
No, that's...
100 emoji. 100.
Wow. And do they announce the features while you're on the train?
I'm assuming they do. I mean, there's Google Home Hub speckled yeah. throughout, like
right.
just giving you your recipes.
I love the... Is that it's not animation. I mean, it is animation. I love like the characters, like the
yeah, the
characters,
yeah, the animatronics,
and
yes,
yeah. but just that style of art too.
I wonder where they're
like,
gonna store
fun.
It after this
yeah.
is all done. Like, I wonder
is,
where Google
is,
stores all the CES props.
This is great marketing. This is good stuff.
Yeah, apparently it is. We're playing. It.
Sorry, I had to share that. A slight aside. I thought it was a really good viral like thing to do. Should we segue to the next?
Let's do it.
Since
there's a lot of assistant news,
yeah.
so we got a bunch of
so
stuff.
So this is just another little tidbit that Google has announced. Finally, assistant is coming to Google Maps, which is a huge thing. I think this is a little different than what we've been experiencing with Android Auto, but I think it's going to enhance that experience because I definitely been waiting for this. So this is coming to Android and iOS versions of Google Maps. And it's going to allow you to voice control navigation, reply to texts, including a third-party messaging app like WhatsApp and Viber, control music, and send messages through... Oh, yes, like I said. And control music. That's where I meant to end. Thank you.
Period.
Thank you. Period.
End of sentence. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things that I'm kind of amazed that Assistant didn't get brought to.
Well, they announced it
sooner
at Google I.O.
Yeah, I think I've been using that for a while now, so I don't know if they just decided to put another cycle on that. But
there,
you can
there's voice entry in there, I mean, or there's voice.
It's a little different. This is the assistant is being put in Maps
because you could go say like, okay, take me to David's house. So.
We're going to have to bleep that out, by the way, because we just made everybody's Google Homes.
That's okay. It happens.
Okay. I don't mind.
Oh, no. Stop.
Now you're just
I'm so sorry to everyone.
No, it's so funny that I said that and my phone lit up, by the way.
Well, no, my
Google Home is acting up now. Too. See, I got burned. I got my old petard.
Let me understand the difference, though. So now when you're in Maps...
When you're in Maps, apparently
you can go. Okay, G.
This means that you can on a voice level voice like, control think, without yeah. hitting the button. Like yeah. right now, when I'm in Maps, if I want to do some sort of a command, I have to either hit.
So
the
So
it
could be like, "What we're going somewhere?" Like, "Okay, G, take me to the nearest
something."
Yeah,
Dunkin'
okay.
Donuts right. or whatever.
I think sometimes like music, like it would launch control. Into Spotify. So now right. I probably. Stays from in Maps. App. Yeah, stays yeah. in Maps.
And that would actually be really nice because then it doesn't actually, pull you yeah. out of that experience when you're driving. Yeah, that makes sense.
Or make you touch the screen to get back to the Maps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
iPhone right. users, you won't be able to use the third-party apps with it. It's sorry. Kind of
oh, really?
Well, they don't allow... I'm assuming they don't allow that kind of...
Oh,
because
kind
remember,
of
like on
yes.
Android, no, you can like...
True.
Honestly, who if uses coming, Apple Maps anyways?
My dad.
Oh, jeez.
So whenever on, I Flo. Send him a location thing, he's like, I can't see you. It's like, it's a different app. Anyway.
Oh, Dad. Also, more automotive stuff. Actually, there was quite a few kind of auto-related
yes,
things.
Mention this, and then I would like to add something. Sorry.
Okay. there were not one, but two assistant yeah. in-car plug-in thingies. Yeah. And I'm sure there were more, but there were two that I saw. Anker's new Rove Bolt is something that you plug into your lighter to connect to the system via Bluetooth. So your phone basically routes to this via Bluetooth and then into your entertainment system, and it acts as a microphone and kind of hub for assistant within your car. I have Anker's Rove, the original Rove.
I have it for that one, right?
No, so mine doesn't have a because I think they have different. I think they must have different versions of the Rove. This is really an FM transmitter, via Bluetooth. So I can because in my old car. I couldn't, it didn't have an auxiliary in, so I had to do that, and it worked great. So apparently they have a bunch of different ones. It sounds like you have one for this brings assistant in, and apparently it has a couple of mics, dual noise-canceling onboard mics to reduce the noise of the road so that your commands come through loud and clear. And then it has the assistant four-color dots on top so that when it's listening to a command or executing a command, it kind of does a little animation or whatever. $49.95 for that. And yeah, it looks kind of nice if you got space in your dash. And then JBL has their version of this, which is more expensive. It's $60. So $50 for the Anker one, $60 for the JBL. That one only includes a single USB port. The Anker one has two USB ports. Mm. It has a single noise canceling microphone, but also has the four color dot. Animation thing. Mm. So, if this is what you need in your life,
I'm gonna buy it. Go. I'm gonna buy it. I'm gonna buy one.
Worth $50 or worth $60.
Well, I wanted to say that I noticed as I was going through all the CE because I've been like trying to read everything that's going on. I noticed that there's a lot of like these little car things that are being announced, and it's like, well, we put the assistant in your home, so now it's time to put it in your car, which
What's
is very,
next?
it's very interesting. I'm curious to see what the manifestation is going to be like because I do use the assistant through Android Auto, but it is so limited at this point in time, and so I'm hoping that this will maybe make it so that I am not actually looking at my phone because in California, especially, you're not supposed to touch the phone at all. Like you could technically get if a cop really wanted to, they could give you a ticket for that. Mm-hmm. But I'm a shuffler. I am a shuffler and I do not have the ability to use my voice to shuffle, which is very frustrating. And so I would, if I can spend $50 to solve my shuffling needs.
How do you shuffle?
What do you mean by shuffling?
Like, hitting the next button.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean skipping forward?
Skipping.
Oh,
I'm a skipper.
When I think of shuffle, I think of random order.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I put it on shuffle, so it's random.
Oh, okay. But you want to use your voice to skip forward to
the next. Yeah, I'm just like, you know what, actually, track. I'm not in the mood for this song on my playlist. Let's go to the next one.
It's you
like,
want to have a casual, you know what, Barb, let's just next.
Yes.
Next.
Yeah, that's what I do at home. I'm I've been listening to this song for like two minutes,
and I'm just not really into
my
it.
Favorite
do you
is,
think that we could move forward
no,
to
whatever
when
I'm
the
really
next
sad,
track is?
When I'm really sad, I go, play that one sad song, and then I say the title, and it plays it.
What is that sad song?
Nothing compares, Sinead O'Connor.
Oh.
You're going to need that button anyways, because you have to say, hey, Google, next song. Hey, Google, next song.
It's true.
You're going to need to just rapid fire through
those. It's true.
You should be able to program one of those Amazon Dash buttons to just do that command.
And just like clip it onto the wheel. Yeah.
With this, though, I'm wondering now, could we program Google to respond back to you with a Dumb and Dumber quote like, thanks, Flo.
Soon.
Yes.
Soon. Right. Sorry, I had to. I'm sorry.
Someday. It's okay. At least you didn't call me Aunt Flo.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Geez. All right. So ever since the Google Home Hub has come out, we've had lots of heated conversations about, is it a frame? Is it a clock? What does it actually do? Lenovo, with their new device, is challenging that notion. They have a new smart display for your bedside table, and they're calling it the smart clock. They're just calling a spade here. It's got a 4-inch IPS display with a 6-watt speaker. It's got fabric wrapping similar to the Google Home. It's running on Android things, and it's got a mic mute switch on the back and USB port for charging your phone. And you can get this smart clock for just $79.99 from Lenovo.
Pricing, because you could get a Google Home Mini for less than that, or you could get the Home Hub for $30 more.
Or Walgreens has these great red LED clocks for like $7.99.
All right, Victor, could you just hit disconnect on Ron's?
I'm just saying. I believe the company is called West Clocks, WSCCLOX, and they make a pretty good clock. I'm just saying.
Sometimes you want a smaller bed size thing. Yeah.
Routines, so you can go in and you can like turn down the lights, and the interface is really they've been really updating the interface on the little thing, on these little things, and so now it's like supposed to encourage you to go over and be like, okay, I need to dim the lights, or like I need to run this routine. I'm understanding it, but again, if you feel weird about the mic next to your head, you could always use the hardware mute.
Well, that's the thing. It's got the switch. Do either of you have a smart display?
Yeah, my whole house runs on Google Assistant, like everything. So I got Nest, I got Ring, I have August Smart Lock, I've got, and it's just all connected. I got my lights in there, and I love it.
Do you actually have the display, or is it all
I have
audio?
The displays.
I have Google Home Minis like everywhere, like every room. It's like the white noise machine for my baby. It's everywhere.
I have the small one by my bed, and then I have the bigger one in the kitchen.
Okay. And then I just got the Hub, the Google Home Hub, and the screen was smaller than I thought, but it's also way more awesome than I thought.
It's so dim too.
Yeah, it's not like a Kindle, but it's like, it's not the same display that you'd see from like a tablet or something.
So you can see the time at like 5 a.m. without like it waking you up.
Exactly.
And then it like changes with the lighting and stuff.
Nice.
But the speaker quality is noticeably lower. So I think even on the Home Mini, I think the Home Mini has a better speaker I got it at Christmas time. So I've had it.
I created a group between the Home Hub and the Google Home Mini so I can have stereo sound.
So I have the Home Hub, but I actually have a Google Home in the kitchen still because I used it so much for music.
Yeah.
And it
was sounds better.
It got in my head that like I needed a better speaker, and so it stayed there.
No, you should do what Flo did, though. I did the same thing. I mean, I'm in a small one-bedroom apartment, and we have a Google Home Mini in the bedroom and a Google Home in the living room, and I just created a speaker group, and both speakers play, and you get more of a filled sound. Yeah. So if you make a group with the Google Home and the Home Hub, you just get that much more sound out of it. So
That's what I do as well, and it's nice because, you know, like especially around, like I can make announcements to every room with it, and, you know, because I got two kids and I can annoy them with it.
Babe, can you bring me some water upstairs? That's mine.
The use case that like none of these guys are talking about, it's a clock, but like really these are like, it's the new TV remote. So if you have like Chromecast and YouTube TV or something, like you use these always, because I have kids, they lose their remote in the couch, whatever, those are gone.
Yeah.
and it's all Google Assistant out of control. So that's why my kids do it, because it's like volume up, down, change the channel.
You know what changed my life is I have a Logitech Harmony Hub.
Yep.
And so with that and Google Assistant and all connected, like I can literally be in my room, and I think I've done it for you. I'm like Netflix mode. The lights dim down, AC turns off, sound bar goes on, and it opens Netflix on my TV. It's glorious.
I have my Google woke
Sorry. Hey,
it's
G.
Okay.
Hey,
it's
G.
Okay. It's taken us many episodes to learn the whole Hey, G thing. It's not an obvious switch. That is really cool. I have not set up the routine. I've not gone that far down the
Yeah, because I'll say like away mode and like I can turn out the AC, lock the door with August, like all that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
Should we talk about a different kind of hub now?
Yes.
So in addition to smart clocks and roller coasters, Google is, well, not Google actually, this is GE. So GE has introduced the GE Kitchen Hub. Now it's 27 inches. It installs above your stove. It looks like a microwave, but it doesn't actually heat anything. It's just an over-the-stove touchscreen display. It runs full Android, no actual version specifics yet. It has a front-facing camera for video calls, so you can talk to grandma while you're heating up your SpaghettiOs.
Or grandpa.
And also has a camera pointed at the stove, so I'm assuming you can go upstairs and watch it on the home hub.
Who knows?
Make sure the SpaghettiOs aren't burning.
Is this just a TV in your cabinets that can
basically
control the stove?
That's not a microwave.
It's literally not a microwave. It's literally where your microwave went. It's just a 27-inch display with a camera that points at the stove.
Because that image looks like they're looking at like a feed of something. So literally like...
Yeah. Where's the microwave? That's what I want to know.
I had a TV in my kitchen in the 90s that did the exact same thing for the most part.
I just put the Lenovo smart display in my kitchen. And
But is that mounted over your stovetop?
No, but so, it sits nicely on the bar area. It.
So, like, in defense a little bit, I didn't understand, like, the refrigerators or anything with the screen. Once I got Google Home Hub in my kitchen, it's been nice to, like, I'm doing the dishes, and I can still, like, have that football game going or something, and it's kind of, like, passively there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need a huge one like behind me above the stove, but like I think display in the kitchen is like an interesting.
It comes in handy.
Yes,
I have the display screen in the kitchen with Assistant. And, like I love it, but that's just TV above your stove.
Just to kind of put the nail in the coffin here,
display.
It is up to $1,400. Starts at $1,120 up to $1,400, depending if you want matte or stainless steel. And it's not exactly resistant to oil and other debris, so it doesn't work.
Which is a killer.
And it's a killer because usually in that area in the kitchen, or at least this is the way it's been in every house I've lived in, that is where the exhaust is for the stove. And so it's like, if there's no exhaust, what is the point?
At that price, you're putting 75 inches on the kitchen counter with a Google Home Mini.
I'd rather buy a TV for that money.
You could buy it like a really cheap TV, get a Google Home, put Chromecast in there.
But it wouldn't be mounted
elegantly
above.
Where is the exhaust, people? I want to see Google Assistant with an exhaust.
Yes. Give me an exhaust.
Give me an exhaust.
Do we ask for too much? Okay, we ask for an exhaust.
Air and steam and food smells still exist.
Okay, I'm shifting gears entirely.
Yes, let's
this
do
is
it.
The only thing that doesn't fit into this whole path that we've laid before us. But I felt like I needed to find one more thing. Nubia announced its new gaming-focused phone, the Red Magic Mars, which for whatever reason, I really like that name for a phone. Don't hear many phones called something like a Magic Mars.
It's long. I like it.
The first version of this phone apparently sold via Indiegogo last year. This is the new version that's going to hit North America and Europe at the end of this month, $399. We're seeing a lot more of these gaming-focused devices. So usually what you get are a large amount of RAM. In this case, starts at 6 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, can go up to 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage. Three color options, including a camouflage design, if that's your thing. Snapdragon 845, 3800 milliamp hour battery, 16 megapixel camera, 8 megapixel front-facing camera. Two capacitive trigger keys on the shoulders of the phone. So that's apparently part of what makes this a gaming phone. You can make those capacitive trigger keys, control parts of your game. RGB panel on the back. So we're so used to seeing you know, like gaming PCs have these like lit up kind of splashy colors throughout. This is kind of bringing that to the back of the device.
It's an aesthetic.
It's an aesthetic. And then they also have a Bluetooth accessory called the Game Handle that basically turns the phone into kind of a like Nintendo Switch sort of controller around the device.
So $400.
$400.
Not bad compared to a Razer 2 phone.
Yeah.
Razer Phone 2. Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, gaming is a thing people are still into, and it's becoming a huge thing on the Android platform.
It's becoming bigger. From what I understand, in China, the gaming phone thing is really big. Mm. Like, in China, there is a lot of gaming happening on smartphones, and so that's a niche that is being tailored to more and more there.
Because we talk about how the phone is now like one of the few, I mean, for some people, it might be their only internet connected device that they have on them. Why not game on it?
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, so that's the Nubia Red Magic Mars.
I love it. I love the
name. I like it. I like this phone. I think it's interesting. I like that. Yeah. This is the kind of thing I want to see at CES. New takes on things or new ways to
Repackage. Don't cost as much as everything else.
Yeah, $399 is a great price point. That's awesome.
It's everything that's great about Android is like there's just these niche things.
Yeah.
Like some people want a little better speaker. Yeah. Some people want just like a little more memory or whatever. Yeah. And there's diversity.
Or 8,000 milliamps.
That's awesome. Oh.
Yeah. Or a 27-inch monitor in your kitchen that's not resistant to oil above your stove. Cool. Cool, GE. Good thinking.
Good way to iterate.
Oh, I love that. All right, we got an email from one of my favorite people, one of our favorite members of the audience, Lori Helms, wrote in. And she goes, as you know, I've been a loyal fan from early beta. That said, episode 400 was the greatest episode ever. I smiled the whole time. So excited to see Chad and Brian. Also Gina. I was sad to see Eileen was sick. On to 500 more episodes, of course. And, of course, I love Jason and Ron and Flo.
Oh, thank you.
Lori's the best. She's one of our most loyal members of the audience. She says, P.S., got the Pixel Buds because of Ron. I have funny ears, and until he mentioned they stayed in his ears, I didn't buy them. Love them better than my other Bluetooth headphones. I'm glad I helped you, Lori. Good job there. So, yay, Lori and your Pixel Buds. I still use my Pixel Buds today. They're fantastic.
Yeah. I got the I guess they're the Pixel Buds design, but they're the wired ones that ship.
The ones
with
that come in the box.
Yep. Pixel 3. Yep. And I've used them a handful of times. I can't get used to it. They just feel weird in my ears.
I've tried the Google Pixel Buds. I think I just have weird ears.
Well, and I mean, literally, we're putting something into our ears. So it's going to work for some people. It's not going to work for others. That's why I feel like there is no perfect earbud that goes inside your ear.
They're not JBL. Shoot. What? One of the brands that Samsung owns that come with the Galaxy.
Harman Kardon?
Harman.
No, it's not Harman Kardon. It's
Harman owns
they're AKG. AKG buds.
AKG. You know, you're right. AKG.
So many. They own
those
so many
fit
of
well.
Them.
Those
fit
well
really well. And I like hoard those. Them now. Like anytime I find them, I'm like, need these
good.
In case the next one breaks.
They're a good ship.
And they
the
work
box
with the assistant
phone.
If you have the dongle. So you can like long press and like talk or you can do
it's got the rubber that fits nicely into the ear.
They're comfortable. So we have other news that has nothing to do with CES. So let's talk about a few of those.
Oh, yes, we do. It's my turn.
Your turn.
We're talking about Android again, right? This is all about Android. Did you remember about Android Q? Because that's a thing that is now the thing we have to start talking about.
I know. I was thinking about this today. Android Q is basically a couple of months away.
Yeah. And
which is really weird to
Before
think about.
Before you know it,
if you're talking
like,
it'll be alpha.
Springtime.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about names just yet because I honestly have to think about that for a little bit. This is harder.
That's going to be very difficult.
But so we all kind of know that RCS has been like very, very extremely slowly rolling out to Android messages. Well, apparently Android Q will possibly bring RCS support to third-party apps via new APIs. So it's not going to be just this like siloed, it's only available from the carriers and the apps provided. So this is all based on commits. Pardon me. I kind of forgot my English. Apologies. This is all based on commits and Android's Jarrett source code. A Googler had also posted on the Chromium bug tracker that dark mode is a thing that is going to come to more of us, which I got to tell you, once you go into dark mode, like you realize A, the white background uses a lot more battery than it's the noticeable dark mode. Difference. Yeah. And B, your head doesn't hurt as much. Yeah, this is me saying it anecdotal, but I'm telling you, my head does not hurt as much. So a Googler posted on the Chromium bug tracker.
Connect the two, but
listen, it's anecdotal. That dark mode is an improved feature. Approved feature in Android Q. They're working to ensure that preloaded apps support the mode natively, so it's not just whoever decides to put it in there. And after this was made public, Google changed permissions on the comment to hide it from the public.
Maybe so it's totally happening.
Well, sure.
That's what that means. I mean, guaranteed.
I'm not surprised by this, though, because wasn't a couple of weeks ago there was that report from Google about the battery savings of dark mode? And, like, someone at Google is, like, obsessed with dark mode right now.
Good.
They should be. They should be. Fewer headaches. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Hides the bezels better.
It also hides the bezels. That's very true.
Palm has a dark UI across the whole system. Yeah. Google asked us a few times about it, and we insisted on it, so...
Yeah,
it's a pretty good thing. It's
nice. I like how the product guy points out that it hides the bezels.
Yeah, honestly, Samsung, like, they're making these curved displays, everything, and, like, they're trying to hide the bezels. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, Palm's bezels, not as tiny as that Infinite Glass, but no one really comments on the bezels of Palm, and it's like, because it's black on black.
The curved glass has its nuances, too. It's not all perfect on the other side.
Yeah.
When you're touching a screen and it's not doing anything on the edge.
I never broke the screen on a smartphone until I owned a curved glass smartphone. And between my wife and I think it was like 5.
Oh, wow.
It was like every other month.
So exposed, yeah.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah.
Exposed.
In other news, I feel like we've been hearing about this for a while. Actually, since 2014, we've been hearing that Google has been working on something called Android Automotive, not the same as Android Auto. Android Auto, you know, as we're very used to having in our phones and in supported in-dash units. Automotive, yes, you're right. We saw this last year at Google
and
I.O.
And a few years ago. Inside of a Maserati.
That's right. We did see it in the Maserati. Last year, it was being shown off inside a Volvo XC40 at I.O. last year.
A people's car.
And basically, the idea behind this is that it's all of the kind of the interactive elements of the user interface within the vehicle powered by Android operating system, not just Android Auto,
like
layer. Yes, exactly. So now, apparently, Polestar, which is a car I've never heard of, but I'm not a car person, so take it for what it's worth. The all-electric Polestar 2 is going to be the launch vehicle for the system. Their press release is calling it the Google Android HMI. It has a vertical touchscreen, a large vertical touchscreen in the dash, similar to what you might see in like a Tesla. It's going to power things like Google Maps. Mm-hmm. The Play Store is built in. It'll have an integrated assistant button in the steering wheel. And they say that it's to compete with the Tesla Model 3. So the price range is going to be about $45,000 when it releases in 2020.
For the car.
For the car.
Not for the touchscreen.
Not for the touchscreen. The option.
The movie Upgrade started.
What's that?
Did you see the movie Upgrade?
No, I didn't.
You haven't?
I haven't seen Upgrade.
I've got to see that movie.
Is it on Netflix?
Ron, have you seen Upgrade?
I have not seen Upgrade.
Uh-oh. Starts out about, like, smart cars. Then the smart cars take over the humans.
No, so where can I see this movie?
Is that movie called Bumblebee?
Yeah, well... No, Upgrade. It was...
There's an Upgrade meme on the internet with the Upgrade button. Is that it?
It's filmed in Australia, but it's not an Australian film.
I've seen the poster, the red font.
It was one of my most favorite movies of last year, and it all starts off with cars being too smart.
I remember seeing the poster of this. I have not seen this. I'll leave that tab open.
I am a little concerned about this trend into putting such a giant touchscreen in a car, because as I mentioned earlier, the thing I'm trying not to do is put my fingers on a touchscreen.
It is kind of weird.
If they could put a giant touchscreen in the kitchen, why can't they put it in the car?
Because the car is going 80 miles an hour. Because the car has a road rager in there, and until we have like actual 110% I'm speaking from experience, until you have 110% self-driving car where it's just going to do it all for you, like, we should not have these things where we're touching the screen. And by the way, I wrote an article many years ago about the history of touchscreens, and one of the big thing that was a concern of the people, the experts I talked to, was that we're, you know, when you have a touchscreen, you don't have that visceral memory of where the things are, and you don't have that tangible memory of touching buttons. And so when you're operating a car and you're having like that touchscreen constantly moving, like, that introduces so much error. So I understand why Google's doing it, and it's very cool when you saw, when we saw it in the Maserati, because they also had a heads-up display behind the wheel, so you could see like your mileage left on your Google map and yada yada. But I am just very concerned about Mother Flow is concerned.
Maybe if it's fully autonomous, then not a big deal, because then you're not.
Well, yeah, because then it would just be like you're getting into a robot that's going to drive you somewhere. Versus,
and then,
like,
bring on the screens.
Yeah, right? And like,
then Skynet comes into play.
Yeah,
which is bound to happen.
Was actually filmed in Fremont, California. Was the location of Skynet, so it's pretty close.
Be afraid.
It's Bay Area true.
All right, Ron, you got it.
We're going out on a high note. Friend of the show, Evan Blass, posted a video of a device that's rumored to be created by Xiaomi. And if I don't know if we have the video or if we can show it, but it's a tablet at first, that folds the sides inward to make a phone.
Do it.
Come on, do it.
Do it.
Oh!
That is magical.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, Evleek says, asks the question, is this a hot new phone? Is it legit? Or is it a gadget porn deepfake?
My new favorite phrase, 2019.
Wait a minute, deepfakes on devices?
I mean, I can't imagine that. I mean, I would be so terrified to put that in a pocket. Like, if I were going to, like, fold that and put it as a phone, like, put it in my back pocket, and, like, I'd be terrified.
No, Gorilla Glass 8, it'll be fine.
If you could trifle that another time, I think it'd be the size of a palm.
Right.
But then how
thick? Look, we're giving you ideas here. That's what you need to work towards.
I need this to flex both directions, is what I'm saying. I need, like, to put at least 4 to 6 creases in my foldable before I consider it.
I'm just terrified. Like, I would just be too terrified to have a thing that...
It's coming, man. And by 2021, all of our devices are going to be foldable. I'm telling you.
Nope.
Palm better be there.
I mean,
the trend.
But, I mean, you're probably right, but I'm just saying, no, I'm not going to buy one.
Palm better be there.
The world is large.
Tiny little palm phone.
And there will be people who are interested in it. How many?
Nope.
Yeah.
But there will be a market for sure.
I think for Palm, the folded out version is the size of the Palm phone. The folded in version is the size of a stamp.
There you go. So
there it is. I like that.
Yeah. And then you stick it on your neck. There you go. It's funny that
we used to have like antennas that you expand. We're going to just have like...
screens.
Scrolls.
Well, they did have the TV that rolls out like a yoga mat at CES. So,
LG did that one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
OLED.
That's right. See, this is where we're headed.
So it really is. It's
now,
coming.
It's going to be a different world.
It's coming.
All right, you got the last one.
I got the last one. So this one is a question from Susan. And Susan asks, I'm getting ready to upgrade from my original Pixel to the Pixel 3. Best Buy periodically has the phone for $300 off with a device payment plan through Verizon. If I buy at Best Buy rather than directly from Google, am I going to miss out on anything like timely updates? I did some searching online but couldn't find anything conclusive. Thanks for your help and keep up the great work on the show. Thank you, Susan, for that last part. So because you're looking at the Pixel, the good news is as long as you're buying it, it's going to be fine.
If
it's a Pixel, it's good. The updates are coming from Google. They're going to be delivered to you OS side. The problem is when you go to another phone like a Samsung device or an LG device on a carrier and they're very vehement about having their stuff on there because that's when the updates start to slow down. So if you're a Pixel, you're fine. And I would say chase that discount because the Pixel 3s, they cost a lot of money.
Yeah, if you can get a discount, do it.
Yeah. See if you can trade in your Pixel, too.
They had some good discounts on the Pixel 3 on Black Friday.
I felt like a chum because I dropped all the cash on opening weekend. Like,
and you didn't, you missed out on the travel, the $1,000 of travel vouchers, which would have been awesome. That's an awesome bonus for buying a phone.
Yeah.
$1,000.
And I bought a Pixel stand, which we'll talk about why I'm not happy about that later.
But I wanted to buy, I thought those things looked cool.
No?
It's not charging my phone. Oh. It's not charging at all, and I have begun my investigation.
It's literally not doing the thing it was designed to do. Yeah, the one thing.
Is it your phone though, or is it the is your phone?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to troubleshoot right now, and so I'm. It finally sounds like it's time to devote to looking at it.
It sounds like it's defective, Flo. Like,
I think it might be the phone, but again, I'll when I have more concrete details, I will come back to the table.
These are pretty strong accusations.
I know, which is why I want to scale back until I have an article published, you know, with actual facts.
Save it for the article.
Yeah, save it for the article.
All right, should we do this? Very first arena of the year begins now.
Here we go.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
But we always begin by checking in on the previous episode's
previous year's poll.
Previous year, and actually not even previous episode, because 401 was a best of. So episode 400 was a very different poll. It was what a wonderful episode that it was. But we allowed nothing but Google Apps in to see what everybody would vote for. pretty unsurprisingly, Google Photos and Google Maps were right up there at the top. Google Photos did appear to win.
Can't see what the percentage is.
My sight's going. 36% for Google Photos. Google Maps second. No, 39. Sorry, 39%. 36% for Maps.
That's 40%.
So, yet again, I think Photos, that was Gina, right?
Yeah. Gina nailed it.
So guests win once again, sealing.
Of course. She's the captain of Team GG&G.
Yeah, it's true. So, there you go.
I love the votes for Google Files.
That was my pick.
Google Files.
Files.
I need to talk about that sometime.
As well. That's why. So it's like it is invaluable.
Yeah, it is a great app.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think they did a great job with that. That's 6%. What is it? Google Camera 10%. Kind of surprised on that,
probably,
but I guess
it's up against so much competition, and not everybody has it on their phones.
Yeah, that's true. Google News 6%. Files by Google 6%, and Google Trips 3%.
I haven't used Google Trips.
Trips isn't one that I've used extensively. I have gone on a trip with it, and it has come in useful.
It just aggregates all the stuff in your email so that it's just there when you need it. But as far as like suggestions go, I'm definitely have other. Yes.
So I don't know how to order this though.
Let's just roll with it. Roll with the order you have there. Let's go with that.
All right, let's go with that. Although Ron, I didn't install your app, so I'm going to do that right now.
I apologize. So why don't we start with Flo then?
Okay. Yes. Start with Flo. Okay. Flo, you go first.
Hopefully, I don't show anything weird. So
it's going to be a good review.
Well, we're doing so. We are showing this from
let's
my
get weird flow.
We're showing this from the Pixel Book, and so let me talk about it a little bit first before we jump in there. So late last year, I started to find more things to do with the Chromebook, and so I've decided to maybe bring more apps here to the arena that I've been trying on the Chromebook since I'm using this like 10-12 hours a day, and I'm not using the phone as much. So this is the bulk of my Android app usage now is on Chrome OS. And one app that I found to be an interesting look at what is capable and possible with a Chromebook is Crossover. Now, what Crossover does is basically allows you to emulate Windows apps, only 32-bit Windows apps. Here, let's do this. Let me turn down the brightness a little bit.
There you go.
How's that, folks? I think that one looks good. All right, so this is Crossover, and it says trial because it is completely and 100% in beta, and so they're making it free right now for Chrome OS users to install and test out with any .exe files and such that they might have carried over from a Windows machine. Again, if you want to do the full like 64-bit experience, you want to get the Linux version of this. But right now, we're going to do the 32-bit. So what we're going to do is we're going to open my favorite bulk renaming app, which I've been using for so long, and which has been actually deprecated. But I don't care because it it's what works. So these are the apps that I sort of have like installed. So there's a couple different ways that you can load apps. You can either load an app by searching it by application. So let's pretend I want to install Audacity. So I can launch it this way if I want by typing it in. Please work. And
fingers.
Mind you, Crossover only works on Intel-based Chromebooks. So if you don't have an Intel-based Chromebook, I'm sorry, this is leaving you out. And it crashed.
Wah, wah.
Gosh, darn it.
It happens.
It happens. And I probably should have... let's try GIMP. Let's see if this works. If I can get GIMP to load. So you don't have to actually have the EXE installed. You can actually just search from this search bar for the app that you need. Here's... Okay, GIMP is starting up. Here we go. It's loading.
Crossing fingers.
You can see we've got that little blue bar up there, very Windows-esque. Again, this is an emulator and it's running, shoot, what's it called? It's called Wine?
Yep.
Yes. Am I saying that right?
I think so.
Okay, there it is. There's GIMP.
For Wine is not an emulator.
It's only half loading. I don't understand why my fonts aren't loading.
GIMP is GIMPed, it looks like.
Maybe I'm not 100% selling it right now. This usually works the best after a refresh. I haven't actually restarted this Chromebook in a while, and I've been using it all day. So let me try and do this one. Okay, so this is the manual way that you would load a Windows machine. There's my little cat. a Windows app. So you'd go to the File Explorer. So it opens a File Explorer in Chrome OS. And then you have to go track down the EXE file, which is very hard to see because the font is super small.
It really is.
But there it is. I'm about to launch it. And
it looks like it works.
It's a Windows app. And hey. So the way I use this is, I'm not going to go through my files, but this is just a bulk image renamer that I use. And I just found it to be the easiest one to use on everywhere, on every platform. And it's deprecated, but I saved the EXE file from a long time ago. And so now I load it when I need to rename. I have to rename a lot of files because I always have to name them to go in the CMS I'm uploading into. So
you're running a Windows app on a Chromebook?
Yes. Now, I have been able to get Audacity to work on here flawlessly, and I was able to like do recording and everything, but I'm a little embarrassed that it's not running right now because... Okay. All right. Well, sometimes this happens.
The demo demons strike again.
So this is Crossover. And you can like try, if I show you here, you can type in the name of apps that you might need to use. So maybe you have a code to an old version of Microsoft Office. You can try and search here to load it. Or if you had the EXE file on a zip drive or a CD-ROM somewhere. By the way, Chrome OS does like work with all those external things that you can plug in. Through, you know, an adapter if you needed it. You could load it that way. There's a lot you can do with Chrome OS, and I like Crossover because it shows the potential of things that will be a potential. And just to drop in a little plug, Victor, I did drop in a link there in the doc next to my app choice of an article I wrote at Lifehacker to help you get started with loading these apps. So if you feel lost, you can go to lifehacker.com and read my how-to that I wrote back in October about how to do all this.
Nice.
And see, look, there's a living screenshot of Audacity on my Chromebook. But it was just back then, not now.
a lot has happened in a couple of months.
It has.
In this world.
And I haven't restarted this computer in a long dang time.
It's okay. Crossover for Chrome OS beta is the app to find in the Play Store, and it's free. Nice. Thank you. Colin, we'll go with you next. You were telling me a little bit about your app prior to the show.
Yeah, mine.
Do you happen to have it running on anything, or should I?
I have it on my palm, or you could throw it on your thing.
Oh, if you have it on your palm, I think that's the way
that
to show
it off.
That
would be a fun demo.
That would be the way to do it.
Show the people.
This thing is small.
You might have to remove it from
right
your lanyard.
Here is going to be your
yeah.
camera.
Let's see here. We're going to do a little switch of the camera.
All right, so I would never call myself a history buff whatsoever, but like I'm a huge fan and read books and study all the time of different things in history. Like I like every wedding anniversary, I make my wife travel with me to a different Civil War battlefield or Revolutionary War battlefield, stuff like that. So I'm always obsessed with just what's going on around me and what happened where I'm at, right? And so obviously when I moved to the Bay Area in August from New York, there's just a lot I didn't know about the area and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Lots
of history.
Yeah, my favorite app is it's History Here, and it's done by the History Channel.
Oh.
And it's just you open it wherever you are and it just tells you like cool stuff that's happening.
We're in a historical location.
Move it out a little bit that way so we can see it on the screen.
More like in the center of the table.
There you go.
There you go. Perfect. All right, so History Here.
Sorry, I don't mean to. It was cool to see my hand in there.
You get used to it after a while. So we are actually in a very historical area where there's a mission here. So I wonder if...
Well, yeah. So it looks like we're pretty close to the largest adobe structure in California, Jack London State History Park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's this different cool thing. It's like, and this is my first time to your area,
Petaluma.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously when I first came here, I was like, I want to go to Lagunitas Brewery, but it was closed today.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's closed on Tuesdays.
But it's cool because, you know, it gives you the address. It gives you... history of what it is or like, you know, what happened there. And it's really fun. And there's a feature on it called tour. So like if you're like, let's say like in Chinatown, San Francisco, you can hit tour and it could lead you on a trail of like, maybe cool shit you're into.
There's a lot of beat history in bordering Chinatown and North Beach. So you could even do the walk Lawrence Ferlinghetti did to go sit on the poetry steps.
There you go. Poetry. It'd be cool. I mean, obviously in New York, it's a blast.
Yeah,
to go through, and that was really fun. But I'm having a lot of fun just like when I go on walks in San Francisco and still exploring the area, just opening that up and just being like, oh wow, like,
yeah,
you know, that's cool. So it's fun for me, especially just being a new resident to the area. So I enjoy that one.
Great way to learn.
That one's fun.
Learn a place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's called History Here. And it's by the History Channel?
Think it is the History Channel.
Yeah. Looks
that's
like
that's definitely the logo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. And that is free. Right on. History Here. Okay, Ron, I have your app installed.
Yes.
And I can show it off for you, which is very easy because I'm very familiar with this.
This should be familiar to longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Both Jason and I have often reminisced about some of our favorite computer games in the in olden days, and we always talk about when there's a new, like when someone does a game version for Android, and it's always not quite exactly the same or whatever. That's why I stopped everything and downloaded Lemmings when I saw it pop up on the Google Play Store, because not only is it the classic Lemmings that we knew and loved from PC games in the 90s, but it is actually the official Lemmings. It's made by Sony Interactive, which owns the license to Lemmings, and it's the original Lemmings characters and the tools and everything, but reformatted for mobile phones, and it's amazing. So if you're not familiar with the game Lemmings, the idea is that these Lemmings the tutorial is very long-winded and annoying. But basically these little Lemmings will march out of their little hole there and they will just keep walking, whether there's a block to it or something that will cause them to die or whatever. And your purpose is to get them to the exit. And you could do little things like let them dig, where they can dig through holes and things like that. They can fall up to two squares. If they fall more than two squares, they'll die. But you can add an umbrella, which will allow them to catch it. The tutorial is very long, Jason, so I don't know if we can get through this or not. But there is a fast forward mode, so once you figure out the puzzle, the Lemmings will do their march and they'll go through the whole thing. But I love this game so much on the PC when I was in high school. I played it all the time. It's great to see it repurposed for mobile phones. They've brought every aspect of the whimsy of the characters of Lemmings, along with the little tools and the different puzzles that you have to do. And the whole idea is that it's basically the Angry Birds model, where there's different missions you go through, and you're actually going through from planet to planet here. On this, we're on Flower Field. The second level is Mushroom World and things like that. But here's a great example of – so they've got to get up to the exit, and they can't unless you build stairs. And you can make one lemming start building stairs, and they'll all do that. And you basically build a staircase all the way up to the exit. But you got to be careful, because if they fall more than two boxes, they'll die. You build another one.
Uh-oh.
And what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to build an umbrella next to that square there. So yeah, build that just in case. I would go, yeah, build that staircase. You got to build that staircase first.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, and then build the umbrellas. Now they drop and oh.
Yeah, see, and they don't die. So
and
there
now
you
I
go.
Can do the rest of the staircase. Yep. Got it.
So once you finish the tutorial, which is long-winded, you don't get any help. And it gives you all the tools that the lemmings have at their disposal. And the idea is to just finish complete each level. They get harder and harder. They get more kind of inventive. And the idea is to save as many lemmings as possible. And for each level, there's a minimum number of lemmings you need to save. And anything above that is bonus. And you can use that as currency to finish missions and to buy other things and things like that. So Lemmings, classic PC game. Honestly, very elegantly ported to the mobile devices. So, love Lemmings. Totally free. Check it out.
Nice. Lemmings. Yeah. And it is free. So, if you do a search for sad puppy, one word, Lemmings in the Play Store, you'll find it. I don't know if there are other Lemmings entries in the Play Store.
You have to Google sad puppy.
Well, that's the name of the...
That's the name of the developer.
Oh.
It's a trick. It's a secret. No, Sad Puppy Limited actually is the name of the developer. Okay, cool. Now I just have to figure out why I can't get out to my home screen. Okay. David, you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go next.
Right,
so the app that I'm doing is the chess.com app. I think it's listed on Android as Chess Play and Learn. So the first thing I need to do is if you aren't already sold on the game of chess, it's like the best game. It's one of the oldest games, and it's around still for a reason. And there's like no greater joy. It's like mind versus mind, and I get like this crazy thrill out of beating people in chess for some reason. So in Android, there's like a million different chess apps, and there's one chess.com app. It has a huge community with millions of users. And like at any given time, you can play a chess game in tons of different formats, times, like timed games or whatever. It's cross-platform. It's on web. It's on mobile. And then there's all these little like tactics and coaching and lessons and things that you can do too. So like every day it gives me a puzzle and it'll say like there's basically one right move to do and I can do something and I got it incorrect. But chess.com, it's like... My wife hates it because we watch shows and I just want to play chess the whole time. So I'm sitting on the couch and chess.com was like a great discovery to level up my chess game. So
nice. Keeps you fit in the chess world.
How to play chess.
So those are like daily challenges of like just analyze this game board and see the thing.
Yeah, so it's like there's one right move that like can lead to checkmate.
That's a really good tool.
Like that.
Yeah, that is. That helps teach you like the game and strategizing Oh, yeah. That's good brain exercising, too.
Yeah.
It's like, I swear, like, chess, like, rewired my brain. Like, it's, like, crazy focus, and you can just think. Like, I stare off into space, and I can just think for forever, and I credit chess for all of my success in life.
Wow. You, too, can
chess
have all that success.
Chess just got a hearty endorsement.
I know, right? I'd never heard of chess before today, and now... No, I'm just kidding.
No, I only play checkers.
Yeah, I'm not very good at chess.
Because I was afraid of chess. All those.
You just got to play.
They all have their own thing, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Like all the little, whatever
it's
they're
true.
Called, pieces.
So chess. You say when you meet people, hi, I'm Flo, I'm really good at checkers.
No, I'm not good at checkers either.
Let's see here. Finally, I have my app.
My
turn. My app is called Mr. Success, which is a... very interesting game. We'll go ahead and load it up here, and I'll see if I can get some audio here, and we'll jump in stage 5. So basically, there aren't a whole lot of levels. I think there's a number of there's 30 total levels here, and you are this magician, and you have to figure out what's that. Oh, do I have Blair?
Oh, sorry. Blair. Yeah, there
sorry,
you go.
My apologies. You are this magician.
Oh,
and you have to figure out the right thing to do. Hey, I did it. All right, next level. Yep, this is how simple the game is.
That was stage 5.
I know. Wow. I think of all the complicated levels I had to go through to get to stage 5. I'm assuming that I have to go like this. Hey, I won. Hey, isn't that great?
Oh, thank God you put them back together.
Wow.
I'm a magician. See, this makes you feel like a magician.
You're
it makes
a real
you feel
Penn and Teller.
Really good. There are ways that you can... you can mess up.
No success.
No success on that one. I'm going to go ahead and try again because I think I know what you're supposed to do on this one. It's the hold table with the tablecloth, pull it out, and things stay on the table. I'm a magician.
Tell me you've seen that guy on Instagram where his whole bit is he pulls tablecloths. Yeah, he's the greatest thing that's ever happened.
I could keep going. The intro.
What are you supposed to do here?
Oh, I don't know. Do I tap it? No. Do I move it?
Lift it. Oh.
I don't move it. I lift it? I don't know. I think I messed it up. I did something wrong. Hey.
Oh, there it is.
I did it. Oh,
no success.
Yeah. Oh, dang it. Oh. Well, there's an ad. Hey, you know, who's you got to pay the bills when you created a game such as Mr. Success.
Support your devs. Yeah.
There you go. Mr. Success.
Again. We have to figure this one out. Do it again. Oh.
Yeah, now I want to know what it is.
I mean, usually if it's...
Oh.
Are you supposed...
I don't know.
It's like, I mean, if you had like three cups, like we would try to guess what
yeah.
it is. But you only have one.
This is the first time I've been stumped by this game, to be honest. Up? No, that's what I've been doing. But I didn't know if...
Pull it back.
Okay.
I don't know if you can do that. It goes up, doesn't it? Yeah. No?
No. This is stage eight might be it. I might not be able to pass stage eight.
Get out. Now you can play this other game.
I need to look up a, what is it called? Mr. Success?
No
I need
success.
To look up a walkthrough.
We need Game Shark for
yeah,
this
Yeah, we
one.
Need game facts.
I need cheat codes.
All right.
You too can install this for free. It's called Mr. Success. You might have to watch a couple of ads. But
pull the cup side to side to shake the dice, then lift the cup to see them stacked in a column.
Oh.
Did you look up a cheat code?
Yes, I did. I totally looked up a walk. So do it. I want to see that happen.
Okay.
I didn't look up a cheat to not see it happen.
Well, okay, hold on. It's still playing me the ad.
So with the cup, you go up, down, left, right.
I just want the ad to go away.
She got it. She got it.
Okay, great. Farm Heroes. All right, awesome. There's another game you should totally install, but I didn't say it. Okay, so what am I? Okay, so explain it again.
Go shake it left and right and then pull it up to show that they've been stacked.
Illusions, bro.
Oh.
Okay.
Look, there's
Illusions.
Nothing in my hands except.
And up.
Oh!
Success!
I'm a magician. Did you know that?
I think I'm going to have to vote for Mr. Success. This is kind of awesome.
We were all pretty invested in that.
Yeah, I was.
Thank you for coming into my world. Mr. Success by Hap Incorporated.
That was fun.
All right. So, Ron, were you saying that the poll's not working?
No, the poll is working, but it's not set so you can see the results after you vote.
Oh, shoot.
So we don't get the victory.
Okay.
If my app gets the most votes, what do I win?
Notoriety.
Bragging rights.
So you get points. We have a point system. So whoever comes first gets 5 points. Whoever comes in second gets 3 points. Comes in fourth gets 2 points. Last gets 1 point.
Well, I mean,
and then we keep track over the whole year, and then we determine who wins the arena. And you, Colin, represent someone of the guests. So
what do we win?
Just
bragging rights.
I want a trophy or something.
Well, we are still working on that.
Okay.
You win an original Palm Trio.
Oh.
So.
There we go.
We have one of those.
I'm trying to figure out how I make it public, but I don't think I'm going to be able to figure it out on the fly. But.
Sorry. Blame
I can
Google
still
Plus.
Point you to twit.to/AAAPoll401. That's where you go and place your vote for your favorite app today. Is it Crossover for Chrome OS Beta? Is it History Here? Lemmings? Chess.com? Chess, Play, and Learn? Or Mr. Success?
What will Victor vote for?
Mr. Success!
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
I'm a magician.
Thank you for taking the survey, Victor.
Thank you all.
You didn't mean that, Victor.
For participating. I appreciate it. And thanks, you guys, for coming up.
Thank
this
you.
Is a lot of
and
fun.
Staying the whole show.
Us. This is great.
It was a blast to have you guys in studio. Love it when our guests can come in studio. It changes the vibe of the show, even makes it even better. And we're just thrilled to have you guys. We'd love to have you back.
Yeah, I mean, If you guys ever do come out to San Francisco, you could always come and do a live episode in our office or chill or whatever.
All right. Yeah. Cool. Let's be in touch.
You do the one room tour of the office.
Is it as sprawling as our office?
It's about the size of this room. All right.
This room. Okay. Well, then it'll be a quick tour. Colin Willardson, head of marketing. If people want to find you online, follow you. Do you?
C. Willardson. I know. Okay. My last, it's WILLARDSON. Right. I mean, I'm not that fun to follow on Twitter. Most of the stuff I put up there is just dumb 90s movie quotes.
See, and I think you just spoke directly to
a lot of Point Break quotes. Because I'm pointing to Bodhi on my arm.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty
dedicated.
Good. That's pretty
good dedication.
Yeah. I love the Swayze.
Who doesn't? Thank you, Colin. Yeah. It's really great to meet you and to get you here. And then, of course, David Woodland, head of product at Palm. If people want to follow you, where can they find you?
I think I'm at David Sven on like every platform. So David Sven. That's my middle name.
Cool.
Yep.
It's a good middle name. David, Colin, thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. And best of luck with this product, of course, and all future products. And let's be in touch.
Yeah. Good.
That's good.
Flo, what are you doing?
I forgot to send Victor a link. Uh-oh. I had an article.
She's
go
scrambling.
Up.
Okay, you work on that?
Yeah.
Ron.
Well, before we talk about me, Jason, the this week's poll is twit.to/apoll401.
Oh, but it's
that this is episode 402.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
so
maybe I
want to
can
make it clear to everyone voting, go to twit.to/apoll401. And maybe, Jason, after the show, you can make 402 work.
Also. Thank you. This is what happens when I do this on
Happy
the fly
New
while
Year.
We're doing the show.
Yeah, the holiday hangover. No, yes. So you can, I'm going to plug my stuff real quickly. You can go to my other podcast, finalepodcast.com, where we talk about the last episode of a popular television show. We did Newhart as our 15th episode. We come out every Tuesday-ish. Our schedule is getting a little adjusted this January as life is throwing curveballs at us. But we'll have a new episode out soon. But in the meantime, you can go to Instagram.com/RonXO, where you can follow all my pictures and my chronicling of the death of Christmas trees around New York City, which is proving to be more popular than ever this year.
It started day before Christmas, which is just like...
It's like they're in body bags sometimes.
Well, part of it is, okay, so here's the thing. So I'm going to explain this. This started when I lived in San Francisco, because in San Francisco, it was commonplace to see a Christmas tree on the side of the road in April.
Yeah.
Right, which is always very funny. Like, and it became, how late in the year could we see a Christmas tree? I saw one once in August. Like someone with ornaments still on it, someone throwing out their tree in August, 8 months after Christmas. Now that I live in New York City, the difference is it's not how long Christmas trees last in New York City. It's rather how quickly New Yorkers get it the hell out of their apartment.
It takes up a lot of room.
And then also this year, I've been adding a little more commentary to the posts. So there's a little copy that I write for each one, which I try to imagine the conversation around the discarding of the tree.
This is Ron's art. This is,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
So this one, the tree is in front of the Link NYC, which tells a subway status. And so I said, "Is the subway delayed? Who cares? I'm leaving it right here." It's my fun little thing that I'll do until I stop seeing Christmas trees on the street.
As
Flo noted, the first one, I was blessed with the first one happening on Christmas Eve, which is just like a gift I couldn't have even imagined I wanted. So,
wait till tomorrow.
Exactly. So happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays in the rearview mirror. Thank you, Ron. Flo. Back to you.
Actually, Orthodox Christmas was like a couple days ago.
Oh, okay.
So not entirely Vermeer. Anyway, technically, you can find me blogging this week about CES at FlorenceIon.com. Yes, I'm blogging at my blog. I have a blog now where I blog. I finally joined 2009 and I am blogging.
A blog?
Yeah, I do. I just.
And what do you do? You blog?
I blog.
What do you blog on your blog?
You just blog?
About blog?
I blog.
You blog about blog stuff?
I just blog. It's the flow feed. I just blog about whatever's on my mind.
Just
blog stuff.
Just blog.
Yeah, just blogging. And also today I had an article go up at Lifehacker. Those of you who are jumping on the Chromebook train can go check out some starter apps. I put together a little starter kit for you so you know where to get started, how to edit PDFs, and how to open Microsoft Word files. So check that out if you have a chance.
Check it out.
And thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Flo.
For supporting me and All About Android.
And all that. And thanks to Victor. Victor, thank you. Thanks for the thumbs up. Thanks
thumbs
to
up.
Alex.
Making a V
sitting over
Victor.
There.
Alex is always our one audience member every week, which I appreciate because I feel like...
Sometimes it looks like he's judging us, but anyways, whatever.
He's listening.
He's judging. I know he's judging. 3,000 miles, eyes. I know he's judging.
He gives you that look like Mr. Burns does.
Very shifty eyes coming from Alex over there all the time.
He's twiddling the fingers, too. That's
yeah, I know. He knows the language.
Behind his surface.
You can find me all over the Twit Network doing shows. That's what I do here. You can also find me on Twitter at Jason Howell. By the way, if you aren't already following Twit, like as a network on Twitter, you can at Twit. Doesn't that make just too much sense? So go do that. You can also find Twit on Instagram, by the way. We're always posting socially things there, so check for it. But that is it for this week, for this show. We appreciate you guys watching and listening each and every week, and it's good to have you here once again. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. You can find an Arena apps list. Basically, every app that we've ever brought into the Arena over 402 episodes can be found at twit.to/AndroidApps. Some of the really old ones probably don't even exist anymore, so it's kind of funny when you really go through the catalog. Show notes of past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA, and you can catch us live starting somewhere around 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live every Tuesday. And I think that is it. Yes, let's end it there. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Bye.